Welcome to the Living Word Assemblies of God Toronto podcast. As the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Yes, it is the complete human experience, so relax and re-energize yourself with this powerful word.
First Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. I passed on to you what was most important, and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. The message that I have to bring this morning is nothing new for most of us here. It's very simple. Something that if I asked one of my kids to come up here and say, they'd probably be able to tell you. But something that is most important. I always wondered why pastors title their sermons, because it never really gets out there. You know, it's something that's titled on my Word document to be able to find it later, a title, but people don't always say what the title of a message is or remember what the title of a message is. But when I was trying to label this one today, all I came up was the message. The message. The most important message. It comes in two parts, but two parts today. We hear many messages throughout our day. You turn on the TV, you're getting messages. If you're watching the news, reading newspapers, you're getting messages. If you're watching TV shows and movies, you're getting a message. If you're listening to music, that's giving you a message. You turn on social media now, and instead of what social media, the blessed days of social media used to be, it used to just be pictures of people's life and people's families and what they were doing, and now it's messages of what is most important. It's now causes. And yes, thank you for those who are still posting pictures of your food and of your cats, because I love to see them. But we're getting all these messages of other things. And they're not necessarily wrong, it's just that we're bombarded with all of these messages. Messages about healthy living, disease awareness, taking care of our mental health, politics, especially in the past month, we've been seeing all these different kinds of messages about politics. Disasters that are happening around the world. We're bombarded with all of these messages. And each one of these causes says this is most important. You have to be living rightly. You have to be eating the right foods. You have to be exercising in the right way. You have to be doing this or thinking that. This has to be what's most important. And they have their place. But this is what's most important. And I think we need to remember that. We've been singing about it all morning. And thank you so much to the worship team for leading us. Thank you so much to those who have been involved in this service so far. Because I want us to remember what is truly important, this message of Christ. This message that needs to be proclaimed to the entire world, in every tribe, in every tongue, in every nation. And we sing these things, Let God's word go out into the world. This message about Christ, what Christ has done for us. We sing about the blood. We're going to celebrate communion a little bit later this morning. But who's going to take that message? Because we say proclaim it. Proclaim it out into the ends of the earth, into every corner of this world. Let everybody know this message about Jesus. And how are they going to know? By you. And that's part of this message this morning. To be reminded of what Christ has done for us. To be reminded of who we are in him. But also to be reminded that you now have a responsibility. Seek the lost. Live the word. Reach the world. This message of Christ transforms us. I want you to remember for a moment, for those of you here who are Christians this morning, can you remember when you first gave your life to Jesus? Can you go back to that time? Can you remember how old you were? Can you remember, maybe it was last week, which is exciting, but remember that time that you first believed in Jesus' death, when you first believed that he came back to life again, when you first repented of your sins and asked him to come into your heart and make him Lord, the first time that you proclaimed to somebody, yeah, I'm a Christian. Can you remember that time? Because I'm going to ask you to do something just a little bit bold, a little bit courageous. I'm going to ask you to stand at different times. All of us in this room are going to be standing at different times here. I'm going to say a few different situations. And if that situation applies to you, just for a brief moment, can you stand and sit back down? Very simple. I think you guys can handle it. All right? If you've been a Christian, here you go. If you've been a Christian for 20 years or more, could you please stand? For 20 years or more, could you stand? Can we just give glory to God for a second for what God has done? Thank you. 20 years or more. That's a lot of us. All right. Have a seat. Have a seat. All right. Hope you can remember. If you've been a Christian for between 10 to 20 years, could you stand? Between 10 to 20 years. So a few people, yeah, go ahead. A few people standing. Between 10 to 20 years. That's incredible. Thank you. You guys can have a seat. We're going down. Usually we go up. We're going down. If you've been a Christian within this past decade, all right, between 5 years to 10 years, between 5 to 10 years, could you stand for a second? Just very briefly. I told you it was bold and courageous. Between 5 to 10 years. Really? All right. Nobody stood up. I'm still going lower, though. If you've been a Christian within the past year to 5 years, could you stand? Between year to 5 years. A few of you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God for what he's done in your lives. And this is the last one that's very, I hope that there's somebody here. I hope. If you've been a Christian for less than 1 year, could you stand? If you've been a Christian for less than 1 year, you're counting months. You haven't even celebrated your first Jesus birthday yet. And if those of you who are here and you're not Christians yet, I will not ask you to stand, okay? Do not worry about that. I'm not going to do that to you this morning. If you haven't made that commitment to Jesus yet, can I just say, I hope that today is your day. I hope that today is your day. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. You're never too far gone. It's not too late to believe in Jesus' death and resurrection for you and make him Lord of your life. Because that's the most important message. The most important message that being a Christian, each one of us who is here, who has stood this morning and said, that is what my life now revolves around for the past 5 years, for the past 15 years, for the past 20 plus years. That's what my life has revolved around. That's the most important story. And I want to just go through that story again. Is that going to be okay? Is that too simple? I know I've been working with kids, but come on. The most important story. Imagine it. Imagine it as if you haven't heard it before. Because God created this world to be perfect. Everything was perfect. He created paradise. Everything was as he intended it to be. He made humans the way he intended them to be. When he had first thought about making you, he had thought about making you perfect. He knew who you were going to be. And he walked with the people that he made. Because he had that kind of relationship with them. Untainted, unbroken, pure, holy, exciting. And they were able to see God. And God's heart, I can imagine, was just filled with deep love, filled with anticipation of what was going to happen throughout history, filled with satisfaction at what he had just created. And that relationship was broken through disobedience. When sin entered into the world and hurt and death and destruction followed along. And since then, human beings, myself included, have kept giving into temptation and have kept doing those sinful things that forced a wedge, a chasm between God and humanity. Because perfect God cannot be around imperfect. And there was now a punishment for our sins. And we no longer got to walk with God. And we could no longer see him face to face. And not many people hear him in an audible voice anymore. And God's heart was broken. What he had intended was now destroyed. And God's heart wept over the lostness of his people. But even so, he didn't abandon us. Even so, he didn't abandon you. He saw that we couldn't make things right on our own. He saw that we could no longer, that there was no way that we could pay the punishment for our sins. You make one little sin. I tell this to the kids sometimes, you know, you do that one little lie. You know what the punishment for that is? Sent to my room? You know, death. What? Yeah. Reorients the whole thing for them. God knew we couldn't pay that punishment. He knew we needed a savior. He knew we needed a rescuer. He knew we needed somebody who was going to pay that punishment and who was going to overcome it. And so he sent Jesus, his one and only son. There's a poem that I love. I wrote it down. It's hanging on a piece of cardboard on my wall because it is just incredible. And it says this. He told them again and again, shouting it in the breathtaking splendor of creation, whispering it on the pages of ancient parchments, echoing it through the voices of his chosen prophets. But few listened, even fewer believed. Finally, with a heart weeping at the deafness of his people, he took his pen, Jesus Christ, and dipping it in Calvary's scarlet ink, he wrote his message on a rough wooden banner and pinned it against an empty sky for all the world to read. Bold, crimson words, I love you. Forgive me if I cry this morning, because I hope by the end of this you all will be too. Because they took Jesus. That sinless, perfect Lamb of God who had created the entire world, who knew perfection. And they took him and they captured him, though he went willingly. The one who had cared for the poor, the one who had healed the sick, the one who had spoken truth, the one who had set people free from everything that had held them bondage. They took him and they tortured him. They whipped him. They beat him. They twisted together a crown of thorns and jammed it upon his head. They mocked him. They spit on him. They slapped him. And they took him and they forced him to carry the heavy cross by himself out of a city up a hill. And when they got there, they laid him and stretched him out upon it, and they nailed his hands and his feet into that cross. Jesus was not the first person who had been crucified. He was not the last. The manner of his death was not what is so striking for us, though for us to think about that is horrific. What was more important was the fact that this was God. This wasn't a common criminal. This wasn't somebody who had deserved death. This was God, who went willingly. Creation knew of the horror of what was happening, and the sun went dark. And for 6 hours, Jesus hung upon that cross in agony, and he thought of you. And he stayed on that tree, even though he was mocked, and even though he was tempted. Hey, come on down, we'll believe in you. And he could have. But he stayed there because he thought of you, and he thought of that chasm that was separating you from him. He thought, I don't want that there anymore. I want to be close to you. I don't want you to struggle by yourself, and I don't want you to try to figure things out on your own. I want to be able to be there for you. And so he stayed. And when the time was up, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "It is finished." And he died. And that was so horrific of a moment that the entire earth quaked. And rocks split apart. Bodies of people who had died came back to life again. And the veil that was in the temple, that separated the place where God was from the people, was completely torn in two. I think that's one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. It was torn in two. There's nothing separating you from God anymore. The only thing that separates you from God now is your own unbelief. The only thing that separates you from God now is your own sin that you're not willing to confess. Because God's made the way. He paved the way for you. Because in that moment when Jesus died, he broke the chains of death. He bust down the doors of hell. And he paved a way for you to be able to walk through his blood to have a relationship with God again. Though we don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But he did that. But Jesus was buried. His body laid behind a stone in a dark tomb. And Satan rejoiced. And the disciples wept and were confused. And God just started to bide his time. Because we know that on the third day, that earthquake that happened when Jesus died, it wasn't over yet. There was an aftershock. And the earth quaked yet once more. And that stone was rolled away from the entrance to Jesus' tomb. And he emerged as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the resurrected Savior, the Messiah, the one who lives forever and ever, the one that death can't beat down. And the resurrected Jesus in his resurrected body went and he met with his disciples again and he told them. He told them the way to be saved. Luke 24:47, he said, "There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent." Repent. Just as he had told Nicodemus before he died, "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever does what? Believes. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." Does your heart leap within you at that glorious message? Because as Paul said, "I pass on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me, that Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. He was buried and he was raised again from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. I passed on to you what was most important." Most important. This message transforms our lives. And so many of us here who have stood and said, "Yes, I'm a Christian," you know how it's transformed your life. You think that nobody loves you? Think again, because Jesus died for you in love. You think that mistakes that you have made you an unforgivable person? Jesus forgives everybody who comes to him and asks for forgiveness, no matter how many times. He told Peter, when Peter said, "How many times should I forgive somebody who sins against me?" Jesus says, 70 times 7. If you add that up, just stop counting, okay? Just keep forgiving people. If he's given that kind of thing for humans, how much more so is God going to do that for us? Because he is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins. If you think that there is so much inner turmoil, that there is so much emotional pain, that it is too much to bear, and you're just thinking of the nearest exit plan, this message tells you that Jesus sees every tear you've cried. He stands right beside you. He is holding your hand. He's lifting you up and he's giving you life. And many of us here have experienced Jesus. We've experienced his power in our lives. We've experienced being set free. We've experienced healing. We've experienced his guidance. We've experienced his redemption. There are three kinds of people sitting here today having heard that story. First kind of people is somebody who might have never heard this story before. Possibility. Kind of say, this is the truth. You can't do this life on your own. And all the brokenness that is going on around you, you're not going to be able to make it out in your own strength. But through Jesus, you're set free from it all. And through Jesus, you are able to have the life that he has called you to. The life he intended for you. But there are some of you here this morning, second kind of people, that you have heard this before and you're starting to feel the stirring within your heart again. to be reminded, yes, this is what life revolves around. This is the thing that I am on this planet for. This is what it's all about. And you're leaning in just a little bit like, okay, what's happening next? I want more. But there's a third group of people here, and I hope that it's not you. But at some point in our lives, I think we've all been there. The third group of people here, that those you have heard it so many times that you kind of blanked out with all this talking. Because, yeah, like I said at the beginning, one of my kids could come in here and could tell us this story. You don't need me. We've heard this story so many times that sometimes we become jaded to it. Say, oh yeah, it's that story. Oh yeah, that's happening. Oh yeah, we'll celebrate that at Easter time. Don't stop repeating this story to yourself. Don't stop remembering that this is what life revolves around, that your life depends upon this story, that your life purpose is because of this story, and it is about this story, and you are involved in this story. The story isn't something just meant for you to listen to. It's meant for you to do something about. When something is important to you, you naturally talk about it, right? I mean, so many times you walk up to, I talk with a lot of the parents here. We're talking about their kids. I mean, because kids are important to you. If you go on a family trip, so many people, oh man, I want to go to Cuba now because I hear people who are going down to Cuba. Anybody who's been down to the Caribbean and you start talking to me about your trip, I want to hear about that trip. And you are most definitely going to tell me everything about that trip. These are the food that I ate, and this was the music we danced to, and this was what was happening. This was the beautiful place, and the beach, and the sun, and the everything. And you want to tell me about what you're excited about. If you're excited about your work, you'll talk about your work. If you're excited about your studies, you'll talk about your studies. If you're excited about your favorite movie or your favorite book, you're going to talk about those kind of things. If you're excited about your food, we're going to have a whole group of foodies who are just going to be able to get right down into that and exchange recipes and all that kind of stuff. A friend of mine, not too long ago, went to go get their hair cut. And they're sitting in the barber's chair, and the barber's talking away just like, barbers do. And sorry. And he starts talking about this one burger joint in Hamilton. It's like, this restaurant has the best burgers. Lunch is not yet. Control the salivating. But this place has the best burgers. All right, you got to go check it out. It was this kind of sauce and this kind of bun, and this was awesome. Oh, and the milkshakes and this thing. It was the best place ever. Like, honestly, I have not had better burgers. And so my friend's sitting there being like, all right. So then he's like, I start to want to have a burger. And so next time he had the opportunity, he went to that burger place. And he had to just try those burgers because somebody was talking about it so much that it gave them such a hunger for those burgers. Can we do that same thing with your experience of Jesus? When it matters to you so much, when you've experienced something so amazing that you just have to tell people about it. And when you tell them about it, you start to create this hunger within them, not for burgers, hopefully, but for Jesus. To have that same kind of experience. You mean Jesus healed you of what? You mean Jesus saved you from what? Jesus forgave you of what? I want to do that. I want to experience that. I want him to heal me. I want him to forgive me of this. I want to be able to walk with him through life where I thought that everything was just going to be dark and I wasn't going to be able to make it. That's our testimony. This story of Jesus, the message, is most important, and we have to share it. The world needs to know this message. You still with me? Part two. Commercial break. This is part two now, all right? That wasn't in my notes, by the way, impromptu. Yes, thank you. Because this message is not just for us to experience. Yes, it is for us to experience, and we need to experience this. But this is also something that we should be so excited about in and of ourselves and our experience of it that we so desire every other person to experience it as well. And we need to be able to share this message, reach the world. Part two of this message is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I just finished up my master's this past spring. If I'm not able to tell you what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is here, I did not deserve to spend $9,000, and I do not deserve to stand up here. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, empowerment for witness. Empowerment for witness. Nobody told me that when I was a teen. Like, I didn't, maybe they did, but I didn't quite figure it out. And so I thought when I was first baptized with the Spirit, I just thought it was boldness. Like, I just thought it was, well, now I can go out and tell everybody. And that boldness is in there, but it's boldness not just, to be able to walk up to somebody or to be able to, pray something. It's boldness, empowerment to be able to say that message. To be able to be that witness to this most important story of Jesus. First one to Acts chapter 2. Hopefully you beat me. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Like I said, this is a very simple message. But it's the message. Because the disciples encountered this baptism of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. Imagine a hurricane. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. They went out from this place. And they were no longer this shy, timid, hiding group of Christians. They were now going out there, going even up to their enemies, saying, so do you know Jesus? Like, Jesus died, and Jesus came back to life again, and Jesus is Lord, and you've got to repent of your sins. Peter does that within the next few verses. This guy who had, at one point, been so ashamed and so afraid that when people had asked him, hey, you're one of Jesus' disciples, he denied it 3 times. No, I don't even know the guy. And now this guy has been so completely transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit that he's saying, oh yeah, no, I know him, and you got to know him. And we're going to go baptize anybody who is willing to come along and want to give their lives to him as well. And they went out from there, and they lived their lives telling everybody in every opportunity that they could this message about Jesus. They reached out to the lost, even if the lost meant their enemies, even if the lost meant those who were keeping them in prison. They were preaching this message. So can I ask you, when was the last time that your heart was broken for the lost? When was the last time that your heart ached for those who didn't know Jesus? Some of us here have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that is an innate part of who we are. That an experience like the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I hope you can remember that moment. For those of you who have been baptized in the Spirit, those who can remember that time, I could take you to the church where I grew up in and point to that spot on the carpet and say, that is where this happened. Because it's that moment where you were so close with God. That moment where you're so completely overwhelmed by Him. That moment where you're just so completely raptured in His love. It's like, anything could happen, God, and I'm going to follow you. Anything could be going on, and I am with you 100%. That moment where you're no longer this shy and timid, well, let's just kind of keep my religious beliefs over in this area of life and, keep work over there and friendships over here. No. God is your life. God is your life. Those moments in spirit baptism when you're so completely overwhelmed by Him. Those moments in spirit baptism when you speak in tongues. Can I say this about speaking in tongues? A little bit of sidebar, okay? The message. Side message. Spirit baptism. The sign of it is speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is not spirit baptism. Can we somehow separate that a little bit? It's a sign that you're being baptized in the Spirit, but it is not what spirit baptism is all about. It's like when we have water baptisms here. All of us who have seen a water baptism, what's the sign that you've been baptized in water? You are wet. You are completely submerged in water. We have dunked you down there long enough that every part of your body is wet. And you can see the footprints when they leave to go change afterwards. You can see that's where they went because they were wet. That is the sign. The sign of the Spirit baptism is you're speaking in tongues. But speaking in tongues in and of itself is not what it is about. It's not what it's about. And I think sometimes we can kind of think, well, yeah, that's all that it is. Spirit baptism is about being empowered by the Holy Spirit to witness to that main message. A sign of it is speaking in tongues, speaking in other languages that God gives you the ability to be able to do, something that you can't do by yourself. I've learned a few things being in a Ghanaian church. I've learned that when you're shaking people's hands, you start from the right and go to the left. Messed that up before. One of the most embarrassing times of my life. Oh, shoot, I went the wrong way. I've learned that when a recipe calls for a certain amount of cayenne pepper, don't think that that's too little and put in more. I made jollof by myself once when I first came back to Ghana. Bad experience. But really, just that little amount, that's going to be enough? No, I liked it spicy. Yeah, no. I've also learned that when you're praying, you're not supposed to smile. And I was confused by that for a little bit. Because apparently it means you're not serious if you and God are having a good time. I don't know. God's got a sense of humor, people. He made a platypus. Like, come on. He made something that looks like that. But apparently if you're smiling when you're praying, firstly, can we just say that's just, okay, I understand cultural differences here, but like, if people are smiling, don't excommunicate them, okay? Like, you know, they're fine. They're good with God. But that idea of being serious, can I talk about that just for the speaking in tongues for a moment? Because sometimes, I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying this as an observation. Sometimes it seems as though speaking in tongues is a status symbol. I've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. I'm a better kind of Christian. I'm closer with God. And sometimes we try to maintain that image. I've seen people who are speaking in tongues. We're in a time of prayer. And suddenly their phone goes off. And they're still speaking in tongues as they're scrolling. But they're not smiling, so they're serious? I don't know. Can I just say, guys, speaking in tongues is not this status symbol as a Christian, okay? Yes, that means you've experienced something. That means you're feeling God really close to you in that moment. Because can I just remind you, speaking in tongues is Spirit-empowered, okay? That's not something that we can just decide to, like, you know, it's got to be something that God is working through you to be able to do that. That's my hope. That's my understanding of the Bible. So it doesn't make you a better Christian. Or it doesn't mean that you're closer with God in a certain moment. If you're speaking in tongues, well, somebody else isn't. Or, you know, they're showing this kind of manifestation, but these people aren't, and so there's something going on there. Let your relationship with God be your relationship with God. Let's encourage each other in our relationships with God. But can we not make this, like, hierarchy in some way? Can we just be careful not to do that? Okay. Back into the main thing. Sidebar done. Because baptism of the Holy Spirit and this is this empowerment for witness. That empowerment to take the message of Christ to the lost. So I ask again, when was the last time your heart was broken for the lost? For those of you who have been Christians for a long time, it might be hard sometimes to remember what it was like to not be. Those of you who have been Christians within the past 5, 10 years even, it's easier for you to remember what life was like before Jesus came in. But can we remember the brokenness of this world? Can we remember the hopelessness of this world? The striving that happens in this world that even we as Christians sometimes feel? The pressures to be able to act a certain way and be a certain way and succeed in a certain way. And yet the feelings of inability, the feelings that you're not able to do it by yourself. The feelings of frustration and anger, the feelings of self, the feelings of wanting to be ahead in my way, in my time. These kind of, some of the things still influence us as Christians, but we know within God's lens the hope that he has given to us and the joy that he has given to us and the status that he has given to us as his children. But this world is out there broken and with lost hope. And the most important message that they need to hear is this message of Jesus. What he did for them. How he is there for them. And we're amazed and we're able to celebrate at the times that God just speaks to those kind of people. So many stories coming out of the Middle East and others in a Muslim community who have just had a dream or a vision about Jesus, and their lives completely change around, and they let go of the beliefs of Islam, and they grasp onto Christianity, and we are so, praise God, thank you God for what you're doing, thank you for how you are speaking into those people. But most of the time, salvation comes through hearing, and hearing the word of God, and we hear it by us speaking. It's not always God speaking in a manifestation to them, sometimes the manifestation is you. Sometimes it is your physical self to be able to say, hey, coworker, I know what's been going on in family life, and I know it's been hard. I know you've been having some trouble with your finances, and I know that things haven't been going well for you right now, and you feel like giving up. Can I give you some hope? Because this is what I've experienced. Because I know Jesus who has turned my life around. And in those times when I felt like there was nothing, he's given me everything. In those times when I felt like I was alone, he was right there beside me. The times when I wanted to give up, he gave me life and strength to keep going. The world is dying. And the message of this world is there's no hope. Everything is worthless and pointless. Eat, drink, for tomorrow we die type deal. Have your pleasure now. Be your own person. Don't listen to what others are saying. Have no respect for authority unless it's in line with your vision. The message of the world is there is no God. Or there's a God, but he doesn't really care. He's not really involved. At the end of August, when I was in Calgary for the Pentecostal World Conference, they sang a song. It said, let the world sing a new song, a chorus of hope. Let the world sing a new song. How is the world going to sing a new song, church? It's through you. So who's going to take this message? Who's going to take the message into this world? Who's going to reach out to the lost souls? Who's going to help them to sing that new song? Worship team, can you come up? We're going to worship God. We're going to spend some time in his presence. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. It's not just for pastors. It's not just for elders. It's not just for those who are the seeming elite amongst Christians. Because have you experienced God? If you haven't, I hope that you do this morning. But God, has God done something for you? Have you come face to face with the God of the universe and all of his splendor and all of his majesty and all of his holiness and greatness? Because if you have, you've got something to share, my friend. You've got something to share. Baptism of the Spirit. That empowerment to say, the world needs this message from God. It's not just for certain people. We've got kids over there who are praying to be baptized in the Spirit. We've got kids over there who I believe already have been baptized in the Spirit. There are kids who are telling people about Jesus unashamedly, and they come up to me with stories. Hey, I talked to my one friend, and they don't know Jesus, and so I told them about Jesus. Yeah, well, what'd they say? Well, they just kind of passed it off. Okay, but that's awesome. You do that again. We've got teens who are in hard situations at school, and they're bringing Jesus into their high schools. They're bringing Jesus into their workplaces. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is for them too. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is for those young adults and for those in midlife and for those who are the old, might be the oldest person here and everybody else in between. The purpose of our lives sometimes gets wrapped up in all of those important messages. have the right house, have the right car, do the right thing, act a certain way. I hope I've reminded you the most important message is the message of Jesus. I don't care what else happens in life. I mean, I do as a human being. I hope for certain things, but you know what? At the end of the day, when we've encountered God, nothing else matters. And at the end of the day, what's most important is not your image out there. It's not people saying, oh yeah, well, they've got their head on straight. No, it's you being able to, them being able to say something is different about them. And some people will ostracize you for it. Great. Unfortunately, that's part of being a Christian. If anybody here isn't a Christian yet, sorry, that comes along with it. The world doesn't always accept us. The world's going to judge you. The world's going to make it hard. We're remembering the persecuted church around the world today. There are Christians around the world who have been so filled with God, who have experienced Him so profoundly. They're saying, no matter what is happening to my body, no matter what is happening to my family, no matter what is happening to my things, I am going to follow after God. And it is the strength to endure. God gives the strength to endure in your week that's coming up. But He also gives you the strength and the empowerment from the Holy Spirit to not only think about yourself and your own experience with God, but to be able to pass that on to somebody else. To be able to have those opportunities to say, this is where God can speak. This is where God can come into this situation. And I hope that God's beginning to stir in your heart right now a desire to be able to be filled with His Spirit. A lot of us have already been filled with His Spirit. A lot of us have already experienced Spirit baptism. Can I just say, there's more? There's more? As a Christian myself, as a pastor myself, I need more of God. I've been asking for God. God, can I experience You again? Because I don't want it to just be the experience that I had however many years ago. I want it to be experienced now, today, that's going to refuel my desire to preach this message and to be able to encourage others to preach this message in your homes, in your workplaces, and in your neighborhoods. Can I get everybody to stand with me this morning? A simple message, but it is the message. The message. God, we want to experience You. God, we want to experience You. God, we want to be filled with Your strength. We're going to go into worship, and worship team, you guys are going to take it however God leads you. But I want to invite us this morning to have another encounter with God. With all due respect to Brother Larry, who said that this was the most important part of the service, it's an important part, but the bigger part, more important part, is you encountering God. And I hope that that part is right now. Because we've already been experiencing Him. We've experienced the joy of Him in worship this morning when we first came in. Hopefully even now we've experienced part of it in hearing from His Word. We've experienced part of it in the service of giving in our tithes and offerings to Him. But right now, can we just come face to face with God? Because God is here, and I've been praying that God is going to meet with some of you this morning. And God's going to baptize you in the Spirit or fill you with the Spirit again, because you have this strong desire within you to go out with this message. And you're afraid. Maybe you don't even want to. Can I just say, you need that then. You need it then. Because this is the most important message. It's not about the rest of what's going on. It's not about the rest of life. The most important thing is this message of Jesus and how He saves and how He redeems and how He sets free. And there are some people at work tomorrow or even this afternoon that need you to speak this message to them. And you might not have the boldness or the strength to do it on your own. And you need that empowerment from the Holy Spirit. Can I just invite anybody this morning, anybody who has that hunger in their heart, to be filled with His Spirit? Maybe for the first time, maybe again. Can I ask you to do something brave and courageous and come stand here at the front, because we're going to pray for you. If you have that desire to see the lost in your community the lost saved, if you know this is the most important message, can you come to the front because you are so desirous of God to fill you? We're going to pray with all who come. I don't care if you came 15 years ago and you experienced him then. You want a fresh filling of God's Spirit within you. And you want to experience Him this morning. Not something that you can just hold on to and say, that was a great experience, and go home. But to be able to go out from here and say, I want to speak God's messages. I need His truth to ring out through my voice and ring out through my actions and ring out throughout my community.
Thank you for your time. We pray that this message will continue to be a blessing in your life. Please visit us at livingwordag.org or whenever you are in the Greater Toronto Area, Ontario, Canada. This podcast is made possible through your generous donations. God bless you and keep you. Join us again soon.